At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Teenagers in foster care in Texas are 5 times more likely to become pregnant than other teens in the state. That's according to a new study out today. Research from the group Texans Care for Children showed state lawmakers have a lot of work to do to prevent pregnancy among teens in foster care. Kate Murphy works on child welfare policies for the organization. She thinks caseworkers could be better about telling foster teens, all on Medicaid, they have access to birth control. Also, that they don't need parental consent to get it.
They don't have loving, supportive relationships, and this is a way for them to build a family that they feel like they're missing, or a way to try to get that love in their life that they're craving.
Murphy says research also found not all foster teen girls get pregnant by accident.
A lot of them feel unloved, girls and boys, a lot of them feel unloved, and they want a family.
Murphy says the state should do more to support the couple of hundred teen girls and their children. A woman was hospitalized after being attacked by 4 pit bulls early yesterday in South Dallas. She was bitten numerous times in the 4300 block of Hamilton Avenue. The Dallas Morning News reports the dogs are in animal services custody and that the department was investigating the attack incident. The attack happened about a mile and a half from where 52-year-old Antoinette Brown was killed by loose dogs in May of 2016. In today's Vital Signs, another essential tool for maintaining brain health, I talked with neurologist Brendan Kelly about how consuming water, and lots of it, can help.
Water is important for a multitude of different functions in our bodies, lubricating our joints, maintaining our temperature, and it's also important for how our cells manage energy. The brain is one of the major users of energy in the body. If you think about it, we are thinking constantly, and so there's a lot of metabolic activity going on in the brain, and water is really critical to making sure that those biochemical reactions are taking place appropriately and are well regulated.
What happens to the brain if we don't get enough hydration or water? Would there be somehow a loss of cognitive function?
There have been several studies that have found that even mild levels of dehydration are associated with increased difficulties with our mental functions, some loss of mental clarity, difficulties with concentration. Some people may even manifest changes like feeling more down or depressed or having a quicker temper. We also recognize in many of our neurology patients that dehydration can be associated with an increased risk of having an episode of migraine.
So how much water should we be consuming?
Most estimates say that as we go through our normal daily activities, we lose about 80 ounces of water per day. That's from sweating, from water vapor that we exhale, from, you know, kind of the normal body processes. So to give a rough guide as far as how much water intake we should be replacing each day, it would be about 80 ounces. Now that can be included in liquids like water or other liquids that we might drink. The food that we eat, that also contains some water. But that's roughly the, if you will, the hole that we're digging each day that we need to refill.
So when you say other liquids as well, tea, coffee, soda, fruit juices?
Tea or coffee contain water, so you are intaking some more fluids. But things like coffee and tea can also work as a weak diuretic, making us lose some water
right,
as we go to the bathroom. And so they're perhaps not as effective at replacing our hydration as water would be, but they are replacing some. Soda or juice may include other components, things like chemical additives or sugar or other things that we're taking in along with it. And so it might not be ideal to use soda and juice as the primary source of fluid intake, as we would be inadvertently taking in a lot more calories perhaps than we intended.
But I'm still thinking 80 ounces of water, that's a lot. Knowing this conversation was coming up and I was looking at a bottle of water I had in front of me, and that's like about 16 ounces?
That's about right.
So that's like about 5 bottles of water you have to make up every day?
If you think about it from a practical standpoint, 80 ounces is about the hole that we dig each day, and yet we manage to fill it on average.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the fact that we go through our days and the next day we wake up and are continuing that process speaks to the fact that we may be taking in more water through food and other sources than we are consciously aware of.
Just curious, is there any danger to brain health if you consume too much water?
In an extreme setting, that could be problematic. If a person's taking medications or has other underlying medical issues, excessive water intake could potentially cause some concerns or some issues. And for an otherwise healthy individual, our bodies are very well regulated at managing the amount of water that we need to retain and getting rid of the excess efficiently.
So we're clear, we're not talking about water as the miracle end-all be-all for brain health. This is part, what, maybe of an overall plan or approach for achieving or maintaining good brain health?
That's extremely well put. The best evidence to date is emerging to identify not a single lifestyle choice that we make, but rather a pattern of lifestyle choices that is associated with retaining our brain health. Certainly maintaining good hydration is important in that. Eating a healthy diet, getting regular physical exercise, and mentally stimulating ourselves regularly, those are all important to maintaining good cognitive health.
Dr. Kelly, thank you for being with me.
Well, thanks a lot. I really enjoyed it.
And the forecast, sunny skies, a high near 79, overnight low around 59. It's 47 now in Dallas, 46 in Fort Worth.